to the weekly hotspot where your host, Mistress Delia, and me, Ms. Olivia, talk about sex. Chances are we know more about your cock than you do. Welcome, Ms. Delia. Let's talk cocks.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Ms. Olivia, I will readily admit that I love cocks. I seriously do. Whether it is playing with them, teasing and edging them, controlling them, hurting them with a little CBT, locking them in chastity, or even laughing at them if they are just so small. I think penises are wonderful things to play with. I do.
So when you tell someone, either during a distance domination session or in your real life kink fetish play, that you know more about their cock than they do, what is the common reaction?
I think at first there is confusion. What do you mean? You don't have a cock. How could you possibly know more about a cock than I do, being the owner of one? But then, you know, let's talk a little bit and you do a few things that I say, and then that changes. Oh, it does.
Let's talk about being an owner of a cock. Just because the man is an owner of a cock, I actually think that puts him at a disadvantage. And we have the advantage of being able to experiment, learn, grow, deal with more variety, be inspired to be more adventurous, simply because we don't have it attached to us. So we're not distracted by the sensations of, oh, I found this one thing that I like, so I'm just going to do that from now until forever.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. I completely agree. And I think that that is one of the downfalls to actually owning a cock and not, you know, borrowing it like we do for sexy sessions or distance domination. Because if you've got a cock, you learn how to play with it sometimes by accident. And then you grow into those first pleasure touches and sometimes never get away from that. So masturbation can become boring. And once you find that pleasure, you maybe never look anywhere else other than at what you've always just basically done. And who wants boring orgasms, you know? Nah.
Absolutely. I have often said that if I could have one physical change to my body, I would totally want a cock.
Oh,
I would want a penis attached. I wouldn't want it to stay there forever, but I would love to experience that. But I've also said that if I had an actual penis attached to my body, I would probably never leave the house.
Right. Oh,
I wouldn't work out. I wouldn't go anyplace. I wouldn't binge on Netflix. I probably wouldn't eat any food. I would just play with my cock and masturbate the entire time.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I have some penis envy too. So, you know, there's that, oh, that would be so cool if I could have a cock and not just a strap on, but a real cock for a day. All the things that I would do. You're right. Nothing else would get done except learning and playing and having fun with that cock. Oh, you're right.
And you know what? You and I, speaking of knowing cocks, you and I experiment
with
cocks, in part because we have so many in our life. You named some of the styles of cock control and the things that we do, whether it is a micro penis or a great big honking, big, fat, thick, hard, kind of a cock.
Oh, are you in a mood? Ooh.
I'm in a mood.
Damn. I guess so. Ooh.
And
what you do notice, you want right now, Miss Olivia?
Exactly. You notice it was not the tiny penis cock.
No. Is it ever really, though? Does anyone really ever want a tiny penis? Just saying.
Oh, my God. Aww. No. Well, not. Listen, I want the guys with a small penis because they are so much fun to fuck with.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Erotic humiliation, torment, itty bitty pink chastity cages, sissy play, changing their gender, their sexual orientation, what the fuck they do. Like all of this kind of stuff. I love to play with a small penis.
Me?
I want to fuck with a small penis. I do not want to fuck a small penis, though.
No, no. I can think of many other things I would do. And yeah, not that. No, no.
Actually, so that brings me up to kind of an off-topic question. I'm curious, do you have a minimum cock size for fucking?
You know, that's a really good question. I sort of have, I would say 6 inches is about the minimum for fucking. But then again, you know, now I only fuck Jack, my husband. That those are some of our, I guess, fetish boundaries. So yeah, I and he's bigger than 6 inches, so I don't have to worry about my minimum anymore. At one point I did though. Oh yeah, at one point I did. Awful. Oh. It's stressful.
I was just about to say, oh my God, I've seen Jack's cock. It's way bigger than 6 inches. Hello. Yeah.
It's a good cock. He has a very, very good cock and girthy too. Oh, that girth. It is fucking delicious.
Absolutely. My minimum is 7 inches and thick.
Nice. Oh, that's because so nice.
You've seen penises that are like really long,
yeah,
9-10 inches. But if they're skinny, then it's kind of like, oh, mm-hmm. Ew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's just going to be banging away at your cervix and you're still not going to feel it.
Yeah. No. Uh-uh. No, you and sometimes really big cocks are fun cocks to train, I think, because if you've got a big cock, you think you don't have to do any work.
That's woman, true. Right?
You're just with size and you don't have to do anything. And I actually think guys with average penises to smaller penises actually learn more than bigger dicked guys. So there's no one that should not be calling us.
Oh man, that's such a great point. I had not thought about that, but the minute you said it, I'm like, oh yeah, I get that from my own life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've all gotten that as women. We've all gotten that. Someone who just has that arrogance about his cock, and then you get into a sexual situation and he doesn't know a thing, and it's pitiful. It really is. That's large cock humiliation. It is.
It is pitiful.
Right.
And you know what? Men say the same thing about beautiful women. Mm. Obviously, that doesn't apply to all men with big cocks or all beautiful women, but there is a stereotype. And there's a reason for the stereotype that a beautiful woman kind of doesn't have to do anything but just fucking lay there.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are active in the fetish world. Yes, we're beautiful, but we are also connoisseurs of human bodies, sexuality, erotic pleasure. And can I say it? You and I are both nerds. Yeah. I mean, we really are.
We are. We really are. Pretty nerds for sure, but we are nerds. Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that you and I have, God, extensively researched. And can I tell you, the practical research on this topic is so much fucking fun. Mm-hmm. So let's talk some specifics of cock control.
Oh, yeah.
Tease and denial. You mentioned big cocks. So let's not talk monster cocks, but let's talk in general, tease and denial. What do you do and why is it so much fun?
Oh, well, for me, I call myself a cock tease. I do. I love teasing cocks, playing with cocks. I especially love the control of a cock. Anytime I have a cock, I love it. I have even devoted my begformistress.com blog to cock teasing. I have posts and programs and fun things, audios, everything on there so everyone can experience cock control that's more personal to them, that teaches their cock something new, that allows them to try something amazing. And getting comments on that blog and getting distance domination sessions because of things that I post on there is so much fun. Helping a man to learn about his cock is one of the very best things. Teasing is my favorite. Just a cock tease, completely a cock tease, always.
Sometimes when people hear the term tease and denial or cock control, they automatically go to chastity. And that is not the case. It can be 10 minutes of teasing with just a delay in orgasm, or it can be 10 days or 2 months or whatever of chastity. Cock control is not one size fits all.
Right.
And you mentioned your personalized and individualized cock training programs. I think that is one thing where our services on the phone, on Skype, on sexy texting, our services really excel, because on the internet, there are tease and denial sites, but the person fits into whatever the video or the audio or the instructions are,
right,
and it's not personalized to them.
Exactly.
So it doesn't feel as good, right?
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
Why is it so important to do an individualized cock training program?
You know, some of those free teases that you can find online or different things like that, doing personalized sessions really focuses in on what you know. What you know versus what you need to know as a man. What you've learned in the entire time that you've been alive and owner of that cock, to what we know and what we can teach you.
That makes me think of this one man who had never tried lube for masturbation.
Really?
He was a dry stroker. He'd never even tried it. And he didn't have any lube because he didn't use it. And I told him, hey, go to the kitchen, get the olive oil, put it on your cock and try this. And I gave him the upside down stroking position. And that's exactly the same thing that everybody does, grip the cock and go up and down from the shaft to the tip, up and down, right? Exactly. All you do, and it's so simple, you just turn your hand upside down and do the same movement, but it feels very different because your hand is upside down. He was like, oh, this feels amazing. You are a genius. I was kind of dumbfounded.
Really? I mean, you would think that that would be so simple, just flip your hand upside down, but no. See, I think as women, we tend to experiment with sexuality more to find out, maybe because a lot of our pleasure can be found internally. We're a little more reserved with it and are experimenting when we are younger, for sure, as we're learning sexuality, that we learn all these different things and explore and find out ways that feel good. And I have a story like that too. I had a gentleman who called, I don't think I ever spoke to him again. He may still be doing what I taught him how to do, but he was in a hotel. He was in a hotel and just said, I'm in a hotel. I'm feeling wild. I'm feeling crazy. And I'm just kidding. I have talked to him since. I'm feeling wild. I'm feeling crazy. Teach me something different, unique. And I was like, okay, kind of thinking on the fly, right? And so I came up with, all right, we're going to make a pocket pussy out of things that you can find in your hotel room. And yeah, we did. And I had him stroking with this warm, wet, silky, soft pocket pussy with things that we just found in the hotel room. And he was like, oh my God, this is beyond amazing. And then he was just like addicted to learning more about his cock. And that was fan-fucking-tastic.
We are the MacGyvers of business, travel, private time, cock stroking techniques.
Oh, yes, we are. Right.
You know, things like, so do you know the ice bucket? Take that little liner, the little plastic liner out of the ice bucket, and we're going to have some fun with that cupcake.
Right? I like how we're both not saying what we did explicitly. We're just sort of teasing them with it. See, we're just natural teases because
I know
they might want to know a little bit more. Ooh.
Well, now, if they want to know a little bit more, they can always call you, me, or both of us together. Mm. The number is 1-800-601-7259. Ask the dispatcher to connect you with Delia, Olivia, or better, both of us together, because, oh my God, then you are in for a real treat. Or follow both of our blogs. Ms. Delia mentioned her blog, begformistress.com. Trust me, reading the blog, you will be begging for mistress.
I beg for me sometimes when I come up with these things. It's awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my blog is experiencedmistress.com. I, like you, post cockstroking assignments. And these are very general assignments because we mentioned when it isn't targeted, you get a little bit of sensation, but it's not the same. It's not as good. Give me some examples of how you personalize.
Ooh, that's a good question. So if I'm speaking to someone new, and he wants, let's say, guided masturbation or teasing, okay, I will ask him, what is your normal masturbation routine like? How do you stroke? Do you have any fun things that you do? Just those quick questions to kind of
absolutely assess. Yeah. That gives us a baseline, right?
Right. It just puts it all out there right on the table. And then I will ask him if he knows any special techniques. Kegeling, edging, jelking, different things like that. And if he says no, ooh, then we take a couple of seconds and just go through the technique really quickly and have him try it. There are men who have never done like a Kegel squeeze with their cocks. And when they start doing it, oh my goodness, wow, a stronger orgasm? Ooh, this feels different. It's fluttering now. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And this is something different that you have never felt before. And so I personalize it by trying to find that one thing, kind of like a Kegel squeeze or another technique or something that I've just read about that makes the man go, oh, wow, I want that wow. That's what I go for.
Isn't that the best feeling? When you hear him go, and you know that there's no way that he could have gotten there by himself.
Right.
Does that make you wet?
Oh, that gets me wet. It gets me hot. It gets me femdommy. It gets me up, up, up in that dom space so well. It's so much that comes over me. When you hear that, oh, mistress, yes, you know, that kind of everything, that's everything right there. And it's so fucking powerful.
Absolutely, it is. And one of the things that you mentioned, dom space, absolutely. When you control the cock, you control the man.
Oh, yeah.
So that puts him automatically in the submissive role. And submissive doesn't have to be, oh, you're kneeling on the ground, licking my feet, or a collared slave. I mean, it doesn't have to be that. It can simply be the woman the femdom is in charge. And then like everything else, there's all these various levels and activities and all this kind of stuff. But being in that dom space, when I'm in that space, do not want to have sex with that cock. Are you the same?
Oh, I am absolutely the same. Even if I'm just teasing my husband, Jack, we have a lot of sex. Oh, we have a lot of sex. But if it's something where I am controlling his cock, oh yeah. There are so many things that I want to do that to me in that moment are actually better than sex. Does that make sense? I mean, guys are getting better than sex. Are you crazy? But yeah, more intense than sex for both me and the man and him. Better than sex.
I know what you mean. And I also agree that some people listening to this are going to be like, okay, I don't get it. I get it that many of our listeners don't get it. That's fine.
Right.
All you need to remember is don't take us out of our dom space, because what you're doing is you're killing our erotic arousal.
Right. Right. Oh, you're
that's so icky.
Right on that. Yeah, it's not fun. It's not sexy. It's not sexy at all.
Mm-hmm. Just like when somebody is curious about or wants orgasm denial and chastity, and you're on the phone with them and you're like, they're like, oh, please let me come. Well, they're begging to come,
right.
But they're interested in orgasm denial. So what they really want you to say is, no, you're not allowed to come. Exactly. It's the same thing if you say, oh, yes, have an orgasm. He might have an orgasm, but he's never going to come back to you as a mistress again because it's an unsatisfying experience.
Exactly.
That's the same thing as being taken out of our dom space.
Oh, it really is. And when I speak to someone new, I will ask in those first few seconds of the call, do you really want this call to end with an orgasm, or is it up to me? And if they're new and curious and say, well, I'll leave it up to you. 9 out of 10 times, there's no orgasm, because I want them to actually try a little bit of orgasm control, orgasm delay. It may be 20 minutes after our session disconnects that I say, you can orgasm in 20 minutes, but it wasn't while I was on the phone. And there was some time for that ache and agony to kind of, you have to deal with it. You have to live with it for a few minutes.
And it subsides and it builds back up. That's the whole theory behind edging.
Oh, yes.
And when somebody edges, gets to the brink of orgasm and then stops, sometimes that can be stroking very slowly with a very, very relaxed grip. Sometimes that can be getting up, walking around, going and doing something else for a certain period of time, and then coming back for a particular period of time, edging and getting to the point again, and then going and doing something else again. An edging session can keep someone crazy horny for hours. Hours.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and of course, yes. Orgasm control and chastity, that can keep someone crazy horny for days, weeks, months.
We are getting toward the middle to the end of the month of Locktober, and I have a lot who are not allowed to orgasm until the 31st. So I've got a lot of cocks that are just aching and dripping and suffering for me. It's so fucking amazing and wonderful. I am the powerful mistress. Wow. I feel so powerful. Like I am the mistress of all the cocks in my kingdom. It's incredible.
Yeah. You are. You are the queen of all you survey.
I think I feel that way. I love it.
You know what? We should do an entire hotspot podcast about chastity.
Love it.
Chastity devices. How do you know if you're ready for chastity? How do you interact with the mistress? Mm-hmm. All of that kind of stuff, because that's a complete podcast in and of itself.
It is. It's such a big topic.
But for now, thank you for joining us. Do you have a question? Send us an email. I'm Olivia at EnchantrixEmpire.com or Delia at EnchantrixEmpire.com.
That's me. And you can listen to all the weekly hotspot episodes on our blog, theweeklyhotspot.com. Each episode can be heard on Cock Radio on Spreaker at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday. Thanks for listening, you guys. And remember, stay sexy and stay hot.